Grace and Christmas peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon for the celebration of Christ's birth is based on both our Old Testament and Gospel lessons for this occasion. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes, you'll find those written notes at the top of page 15 in your worship folder. There's nothing quite like Christmas through the eyes of a child. Put the opposite way, it is hard to even imagine a celebration of Christmas without children. Whether they are your children or your grandchildren or your nieces or nephews or maybe your friends' grandchildren, whatever the case might be, there is something about children that brings magic and excitement to the celebration of our Savior's birth. No, there's nothing quite like Christmas through the eyes of a child. I witnessed this firsthand last week. Our children at Trinity Lutheran Preschool, from time to time during the year, prepare cards that they give to us pastors to take to homebound members of the congregation. And so it was, as Christmas was approaching, that they made a lot of Christmas cards and gave them to us to distribute. So it was that last week I was visiting a homebound member of Trinity who is now 98 years old. The first part of our conversation was focused on her health problems, which had been very serious over the last several weeks. But then I pulled out a few of those preschooler-made Christmas cards and handed them to her. I wish you could have seen what I saw. Suddenly her eyes lit up. A smile came across her face. You could just see the sense of joy within her as she was immediately moved from being focused on her immediate concerns to the joy of Christmas through the eyes of children. It is an experience that I will not soon forget. And it was the best thing I got to do last week. The first Christmas, of course, is literally all about a child. The promised child. The promised Messiah. The child promised in Isaiah's prophecies, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." But the people, of course, were thinking prince, and for good reason. Isaiah prophesies, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom." By the time of Jesus' birth, the expectation was strong and widespread that this promised one was going to be a Messiah prince, in the line of David, who would deliver his people from political oppression. God's people would thrive again. They would be subject to no one anymore, and they would live in peace and security. And then Christmas happened. So much for a Messiah prince born in a palace in Jerusalem. So much of this Christmas story is improbable. A peasant girl named Mary, chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. This child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Born out back in a barn. And after being born, being placed in an animal feed trough. Lowly shepherds being the first ones to receive this glorious good news. A special star placed in the sky to guide wise men, magi from the east. Yet at its core, this story is about the birth of a child. A child like no other. The very Son of God. Here is the heart of the story. And this is the mystery of the story as well. God so loved the world that he entered into human flesh on our behalf and was born as a child, the Christ child, a child that would grow up to be the Savior of the world. Not to be an earthly prince and someday an earthly king. Not to rule in power from some palace in Jerusalem or elsewhere. But rather, to grow up to be a traveling rabbi, to teach and love and heal and restore and usher in the kingdom of God, and then to be arrested, beaten, convicted, sentenced, crucified for you and for me. This is the good news of great joy for all people that the angels announced on that starry night long ago. God becoming one of us in order to save us. God addressing our sin problem by taking our sin upon himself. God making us whole by delivering us from our brokenness. God restoring peace between himself and us. One of the striking aspects of the Christmas story is how what God is doing is believed and then shared. Mary believed the angel Gabriel's announcement and said, "Let it be to me as you have said." Joseph, once Gabriel appeared to him in a dream, he accepted that this child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he took Mary as his wife. When the shepherds heard that wonderful good news, they said, "Hey, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." The Magi embarked on a months-long journey to follow this special star to the place where they found Jesus. All of these people believed what God was doing and was telling them. And then they shared it. The shepherds returned, glorifying God for all that they had heard and seen. Can't you just picture it as they encountered anyone along the road saying, "Hey, you'll never guess what we saw." And the Magi, who returned home by another route, had quite the story to tell as they journeyed back to their homeland in the east. The point is, those impacted by the events of that first Christmas night were changed, and their lives were never the same ever again. Their changed lives led them to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. So it is for you and me tonight. Believe it. Share it. Believe with all your heart that Jesus was born for you to be your Savior. Then share the good news that a Savior is born. A Savior from sin. A Savior who gives life and hope and joy. Jesus comes to us as a child. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this holy night and forever. Amen.